I sure do love the message in that song of church. It says, we will stand our ground. And if you really think about it, and what's that? Oh, yeah, go ahead, brother. If you really think about it, you know, I mentioned the world and the devil and opposition and all the things that we have. But we have a lot of things worth fighting for, church. Amen. And, you know, of course, we've got our faith, our belief that we have, the Word of God, our family, our church. And so there's a lot of things worth fighting for today. Amen. So we're so thankful for that. If you got your Bibles, I ask you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. And got a few thoughts that we want to share with you, of course, this morning. And then pray that it'll be a help and encouragement to you. And really the theme that we're looking at today, church, as we worship together and look at the scriptures together, it's simply on the thought, to some, freedom costs everything, and to all, the greatest freedom is a gift. And so we'll expound on that thought here in just a moment, but I pray there'll be a help and encouragement to you as we celebrate today the freedom of our country. But again, as we said earlier, the best freedom that you can have is within your salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look here in Acts chapter 22. And if you're following along with us in the scriptures, and I believe Brother Dane, of course, is always great about having them up for us, that you can follow along that way as well. Starting in verse 22 of chapter 22, the Bible says, and they gave him audience. It's talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul has really been put in a difficult circumstance here, and we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But the Bible says they gave him audience unto his word, and they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Isn't it interesting that we're living in a culture today that if you don't like the message or what you stand for, this thing has become popular, the cancel culture. Right? Who's heard of that cancel culture before? We don't like your belief, we don't like your stand, so we want to kill it. Okay? Maybe not literally kill you. There's some that would literally kill you if they thought that they could get away with it because of our stand on the Word of God. But here's a cancel culture, if you will, from these people. They did not like Paul's message. They said, he's not fit to live. Isn't that interesting? It says in verse number 23, and as they cried out, they cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. Anytime somebody would rent clothes or do something of this manner in the Bible, it was a picture or symbolism of extreme disapproval, right? Oftentimes you would see that, in fact, when Christ was on trial, you'll see that when Christ proclaimed, I am He, I am Christ. They rent their clothes as if what He said was blasphemous. And in their mind it was, but of course we know Jesus was the actual Messiah, the one that they didn't realize that who He was. Goes on to say in verse 24, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. So as it goes along here, they thought, well, he needs to be cleaned up, if you will, in their minds, by a good scourging, right? You ever growed up and mom and dad said, you know what, you need a good... Who grew up in a way where if you said something bad that you got your mouth washed out with soap? Who had that happen, man? You know, I literally had it happen. I never thought something so clean could taste so nasty. All right, I'm talking about, and boy, my mom lathered that joker up good. Amen. I mean, it was full of lather, and you know, again, it was one of the cleanest things that you could use, but it was gross. And but by the way, I never said what I said, right? I never said it again. But they thought, well, we need a clean pot. This was in their mind. Well, he needs a lesson here. Let's get up close to him and give him a good scourging, so he knows that we don't approve of the message that he's got. This is where we're at so far. Verse 25. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? So they tied him up. The thongs that it's talking about, it's like leather, pieces of leather, basically like ropes, and they had him all tied up. And the question was, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Interesting question. And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. The chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Notice that last phrase, church. We're going to really spend some time on that thought, where he says the chief captain responded, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful again for the privilege to be in your house. God, we're so thankful for what you've already done. Lord, I've been encouraged by the singing of the congregation of God's people, just hearing their voices cry out in song. And Lord, we're so glad that you put a song in our heart, God, that we can sing unto you. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us now for the next few moments. We pray and ask for clarity of thought. We ask for your wisdom. We need your help. And Lord, even for those that we might miss in our attendance today because of sickness or a travel, whatever the case may be, Lord, our desire is for you to be here in attendance with us today. And we just pray that you just bless us today. Have your will and your way be done in the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was studying in my Bible over the course of the week. And, you know, oftentimes, I, personally, I believe that when you study the Bible, especially when somebody who preaches or teaches on a regular basis, I'm more concerned about the Lord filling me up first than I am about getting material to preach a message. I've had a conviction, and I try to, on a regular basis, listen to something. I listen to spiritual leadership podcasts. I listen to preaching. And one of my goals had been, and I can't tell you I've always met that goal, but a regular goal that I try to obtain is that if I am preaching or speaking or teaching three times in a week, I try to get in six for myself. Because my belief is that I should get in twice as much as I get. Amen. Because I need it just like you do. Amen. The well can come up empty sometimes if I'm not constantly digging in the Word of God. And this was not something that I was thinking I was going to come across. This was just something that I was reading along for my personal study and devotion in the Word of God. And I came across this text in our mind, and the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me, church. And let me show you what he's saying here. Now, I think that statement is very profound when the chief captain said in verse number 28, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." I got to thinking about what today represents in our country. You do realize that there were some who gave all so you and I can enjoy the freedom and the liberty that we have today. Amen. There was sacrifices that were made on mine and your behalf. And part of that sacrifice and honor of that, we want to try to dress and represent today. Our family is dressed in such a manner to try to represent that freedom that we have. And I know, church, I'm well aware of the fact, well, Pastor, we're losing a lot of that freedom. I get it. I know. I understand. I agree with what you're saying. But I'm still glad that up until this point, we're still able to preach and teach the Word of God. And I'm not waiting to throw up the white flag and say just because there's some opposition out there, just because there's some people that may not like the message that we have here, church, we're not ready to throw in the towel just yet. You know what we want to do? We want to just keep on pressing on and continue to preach and teach the Word of God. We'll continue to have church. And friend, hey, I may end up in Florence prison after all, but most likely it would be because of preaching the Word of God and then saying, "You can't do that, you can't preach." Well, friend, my desire is to go ahead and preach anyway, and I made up my mind a long time ago. If we get to that place, then I'll just open up a prison ministry, amen. Hey, there's a lot of fellas in there that need to hear the Word of God, that need to tell them that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died for them. And I've already decided that if that happens, I'll just open up a prison ministry, amen. Doesn't matter if they take my Bible away. I know enough about the Scriptures to be able to share to them, "Hey, thus saith the Lord." And so, hey, friend, I realize today that a lot of that has been lost. But, friend, it's not time to retire. It's time to refire. It's time to get excited about what God's doing. Don't get discouraged about seeing, why don't we stand back and say, "Hey, I realize these things are happening, but we're still able to gather today, aren't we?" Nobody's going to come into our doors right now and try to shut us down. Amen. They might make an effort. I just tell them to sit down and be quiet for a few minutes, and then we'll talk after the service because we've got an important message from the Word of God. Amen. But here the chief captain here has said to Paul, he said, "Paul, I did not realize that you were Roman." Understand, Paul had dual citizenship. Okay? He had dual citizenship here. He was born into this. It's essentially what Paul is saying. And even they recognize, said, "You better be careful what you do with the Apostle Paul, because this man is a Roman. And of course, if you were a Roman, you were to be, you know, it's sad that, you know, they treated other people one way and lived by a set of laws. But Paul was a Roman, technically a citizen of that country, a dual citizenship, if you will. And he said, hey, you better be careful because this man here is actually technically one of us. You may not like him, you may not like his message, but technically he's one of us. So as we get into the text this morning, into the message today, there's some observations that we want to point out as we look here in Acts chapter 22. And the first thing I want you to notice there is we read in verse number 22, and they gave him audience unto his word. You know, the first thing we notice, they gave attention to the message. They gave attention to the message. In other words, they were going to at least hear what he had to say. Now, they may not like, obviously they didn't like what he had to say, but they were going to at least hear what they had to say. You know what I've come to find out? Friend, in life, even if you don't agree with somebody, you could at least hear what they've got to say. Amen. Well, we ought to be mature enough to be able to have a conversation. And sadly today, we're living in a day that you can't even have conversation with folks because people can't control themselves and sit down like mature people and have a conversation. Hey, I've told you before, friend, we're not going to agree on everything. I told you I don't even agree with myself 100% of the time. How am I always going to agree with you? But, you know, we ought to have enough maturity. I had a pastor friend of mine share this thought on individual soul liberty. And if we really believe that, then we ought to be able to be ourselves, be brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't have to agree on everything. And you know what I've come to find out about Christianity? As he pointed out, we don't have to be twins to be brothers. Right. Amen. You can be my brother in Christ and us not be twins. We don't have to look the same. We don't have to dress the same. We don't even have to come from the same background. We don't have to be the same ethnicity. Hey, all that doesn't matter. We can all still be part, like that song said, of the family of God. That's where we can become united through Jesus Christ. But what's happening here is that they did at least give attention to the message. The Bible says they took heed to the word. A good encouragement for us today is that you should always at least come ready to hear the message. Now, I'll be honest, I've been in church sometimes and heard some preaching, and I didn't always like what it was said. Now, by that I mean it stepped on my toes. It convicted me of some things in my life and reminded me of some things in my life that I needed to change. Hey, we always ought to come with the mentality, what is the word from the Lord today? What areas in my life, Lord, do I need to make improvement upon? Because when we come to the place in our life, Christians, where we've decided that we're not going to change no matter what, nobody can help us, nobody can improve us, I'm not going to let God work on my heart. Friend, we're really in a dangerous place, and probably what's happened is we've grown hard-hearted towards the things of God. The Bible talks about us being callous. In other words, it doesn't affect us. But my point is, that's an encouragement to us that we ought to at least come ready to hear and receive the Word of God. Now, let me add to that real quick, and we'll move on. In Sunday school today, we talked about how the story of Joseph and how Joseph had shared the interpretation of the dream and of the dream to the chief and the butler, and they thanked him for it and gave him credit for it. But you know what Joseph said? Joseph said, hey, folks, this dream's not mine. It's God's interpretation. And I mentioned how sometimes folks say, Pastor, thank you for the message. Let me just remind you, it's not my message. I'm just interpreting the Word of God. That's all that I'm doing, friend. Give God the glory. Give God the praise because I'm preaching and teaching out of this old book. What I'm sharing with you today is literally coming from the Word of God. But what I'm saying, friend, is there's an encouragement to us. When we come to church, be ready to receive the message that God has in store for us. So they gave attention to the message, first of all. Secondly, I want you to notice that they gave him a death sentence. Did you notice in that same breath? And they gave him audience unto the word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. So by simply preaching the word of God, Paul was given a death sentence. They literally said that we need to get him off of this earth. This man is not fit to live. You know, sadly, I mentioned that maybe we're not seeing it as much today, but there are places in the world, don't be fooled, friends, there are places in the world today where Christians are literally being killed. Right. for their faith and belief in Jesus Christ. You try going over to North Korea and you try carrying a copy of the Bible around and see what happens. Do you know the stories that I've heard? And I'm not going to give the missionaries' names out because of fear for their lives. But do you realize that what they do in order to get gospel, the gospel in North Korea, is they literally print on the cover of the John Romans or the gospel message, they put a picture of Kim Jong-un on the front. You know why they do that? Because it's illegal in their country to destroy anything that has a picture of that guy on it. So they put a picture on the cover. It's pretty creative in my mind, actually. So when you think about that, so now they cannot destroy the Word of God. Amen. If I got to put an ugly picture of Kim Jong-un over there to tell somebody about Jesus, then that's what I'm going to have to do. But what I'm saying is that if I go around and start just carrying around a Bible like this that doesn't pay homage to him and doesn't have a picture of him on it, hey, you see, they're putting people in prison. They're killing people. It's happening, friend. I don't got time. It's actually happening in the world today. Paul right here, for simply preaching the Word of God, got a death sentence. I find it interesting, and maybe that's why Paul said later on, am I your enemy? Because I tell you the truth, right? Hey, somebody who speaks the truth, friend, is not your enemy. In fact, the Bible says it's quite the opposite. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I'd rather somebody hurt me with a truth than smooth things over with a lie. Something that's not going to help me. Hey, if you're my friend, be honest with me, friend. If I offended you, just be honest with me and tell me the truth. Amen? And my job as a Christian is if you confront me with a truth, I shouldn't get all upset about it. That goes back to the idea of being able to have civil conversations, doesn't it? Amen? But nevertheless, what we're seeing here, they gave attention to the message, they gave him a death sentence, and then somebody came to us, hey, God sent a defense. I'm glad that God always sends somebody to protect you. Amen. I'm glad that God somehow, some way, and even sometimes he uses those people. Did you notice what the chief captain was? He's the one that said, as they bound him in verse 25 with thongs, Paul said to the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard that, verse 26, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. In other words, you better be careful. You better be careful because what you're about to do may be illegal. Amen? So somebody came to his defense. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot on that thought, but I'm glad that even when I was in the depths of despair, that somebody would always, God seemed like he always sent somebody. Maybe it was only one person, maybe it was only two. But it seemed like God always sent somebody to come by and give a word of encouragement. If I heard something like this, and I was the one on trial for doing God's will, hey, I would be encouraged by the fact that even this man, who might even be against me, at least he had enough guts or enough to say, you better be careful because you're about to break the law, right? He came to his defense. Maybe you had an attorney represent you, and maybe he might have, it doesn't matter whether you agreed or not, but at least he's somebody stood up, said, hey, we're going to follow the letter of the law here. Amen? There is somebody that usually God will send. Now again, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but I'm just pointing out the fact that somebody did come to his defense, showing that I believe that God was still protecting Paul even through these difficult circumstances. A reminder to us, church, no matter what we face, God is still protecting us even in the most difficult of circumstances. The fourth thing that we notice here, and I like this part, he gave him a little bit of a history lesson. So what history lesson did he give him, Pastor? Well, if you get down in there and you look at verse number 26, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief priest, go down to 27. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And watch this. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. The context that he's speaking with, he's referring to the past. In other words, he's giving him a lesson. He's giving him a story. He's giving him a personal experience of what's happened in his life. You know what he's telling Paul? He's saying, Paul, I had to pay a great price for my freedom. It cost me a lot. I had to pay a great sum because in this particular time, in this country, in this day, you could actually purchase your freedom. Now, I don't know what his history was. I don't know what his background was. But it's evident from the scripture that he was telling Paul that this is what's happened to me, Paul. I had to pay a great price. He said, you're a Roman, that's good. I had to pay a big price in order to have this freedom. That's what brings us to where we are today, friend. There is a great lesson, and we have a history lesson today that you could get back and look, that there was a great price, that there was a great sum that was paid so that you and I could have freedom. When I read this, I was immediately reminded of the great sum and the great price that many women, men and women bled and died so that we can have this freedom. Somebody, some people gave everything they had so you and I could have this freedom. Just as this man right here said, I had to pay a great price. In other words, he made a great sacrifice for this freedom. And I'm thankful today that we can celebrate those that gave a great price. We can celebrate our independence. We can celebrate our liberty. We can celebrate our freedom that we have because somebody was willing to give a great price. And oftentimes it meant their life. Aren't you glad, friend? We've got so much to be thankful for. Hey, instead of always going by and focusing on what's wrong, let's raise our hands up and thank God for what's right. But somebody paid a great price. Somebody, it would help us to take a history lesson today. I think there's a lot of people in this country today. And listen, friend, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I am trying to be truthful to you. That flag right there does not represent racism. That flag today, friend, represents the freedom and the men and women that died and the many other things and the colonies that were willing to fight and were still willing to stand up to the government and say, hey, you're not taking our freedom. We came here to worship God so that we can worship God as we choose. And friend, that's not a picture of racism. It's a picture of freedom. Amen? But somebody or some people probably need that history lesson today. Amen. So he gave them a history lesson. He gave Paul a history lesson right here. He said, Paul, this is what I had to do. Somebody had to pay. I had to pay a great price. It cost me a lot. But I like Paul's response to that. It gets even better. Verse number 28. After he said, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Well, that thought resonated with me. Now, Paul is saying, hey, listen, this is a freedom that I've enjoyed because of my naturalization. But you know what? There's a freedom that I had when I was born again that I didn't have to pay for, friend.
You're right. You're
Jesus
right.
Said, marvel not that I have told you, ye must be born again. And so Paul is speaking about a birth event. Now, he's talking about a physical birth event. I'm talking about a spiritual birth event. And what I can tell you today is that I was born free. I was born into the family of God free, is what I'm trying to relate to you, church. I was born into the family of God for free. You know why? Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The Bible reminds me in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's a reminder to you and I that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and I so that you could be born free today. If you are freeborn into the family of God, it's because of the sacrifice and the blood that was shed on Calvary that Jesus shed for you and I, friends. And that's how you are able to be born free. However you want to say it, I'm freeborn, I'm born free, I'm born again. If you've been birthed into the family of God, it is only by the grace of God. And friend, what a greater testament, what a greater reminder, what a great testimony that Paul gave. He said, hey, I understand that. You had to pay a big sacrifice. I'm not trying to brag on myself, but I'm letting you know, Mr. Centurion there, that I was freeborn. And friend, that just reminds me of where I'm at today. Hey, I'm sorry for the men and women that had to sacrifice. I'm thankful for it. But I was born free today, amen. I was born in this country, thank God. But then even better than that, I was birthed into the family of God the day that I received Jesus as my personal Savior. You know what else I'm thankful for? God is still in the soul-saving business.
Right,
see, what do you mean, preacher? We had a man here yesterday. He's here at church, amen, who got born into the family of God. Isn't that right, Sister Carol? He was born into the family of God by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. He was born free into the family of God like that song that we just sang, Brother Kevin. Hey, friend, we've got a lot to be thankful for today. We've got a lot to be excited about today. And hear that statement. He said, hey, with a great sum obtained out of this freedom. That's a reminder of the sacrifices that were paid. But then when Paul said, but I was freeborn, that's a reminder of the ultimate sacrifice that was paid, spiritually speaking, on mine and your behalf, of what Jesus did on the cross. I want to ask everybody to stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll ask my wife or my son, somebody come to the altar. I shared that scripture with you. I'm going to end with this thought. In Galatians 5:1, the Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Friend, we have liberty today because of what Jesus did for you and I. And because of that, we're able to stand, and we're able to worship, and we're able to praise God. We're able to stand and sing. We're able to stand literally in life and spiritually in life because of the freedom and the liberty that Christ gave. Maybe today, you need to come today. And for just a moment, friend, we want to give time for you to allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your hearts. I personally believe that this is one of the most important parts of the service. After the preaching and the praising, is to give you an opportunity, a personal invitation to get a hold of the Lord, or actually better yet, let the Lord get a hold of you. So we want to invite you. Maybe your heart's heavy today and you want to come forward with nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know if I've been born in the family of God. If I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Nobody looking around. The camera's only focused on me. We're not here to embarrass you, I promise you. But if there's somebody here that would say, pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand and put it back down for just a moment? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? Just slip it up and put it back down. Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I don't have that assurance. Pray for me, pastor. Just slip it up, put it back down. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I just want to pray for you, friend. I won't embarrass you. Anybody? How about this? Say, pastor, I realize that maybe some things that's been going on in our country, I've been disappointed, and friend, I agree with you. But maybe I needed a reality check that we still live in the greatest country in the world, and I'm thankful for the freedoms that we still have today. And help me, pastor, would you pray for me to help me to be thankful for the freedom that we enjoy? Anybody that would like that, say, slip up your hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else say, pastor, pray for me that I have a thankful heart for the freedom that was paid on our behalf, and also the freedom that sacrifice that Jesus paid. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I want to have a thankful heart full of gratitude. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Praise God. I'm so glad. Thank you, church, for your humility and your desire. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, again for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us here at this church. Thank you for what you did at Calvary. Father, I am thankful as well for the freedoms that we're able to enjoy here in our country, the United States of America. And Lord, even though we don't worship our country, we are here to show gratitude for our country and the freedoms that we enjoy. But Lord, we are here to worship you. We're thankful for what you did, and it's because of you. Lord, several lifted their hands and said they want to have a thankful heart. They've been reminded of the blessings that they have been bestowed in their life. Lord, you know who they are. You know their sincerity of their heart, the humility that they want to have that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, help them to continue. Help me to continue to be thankful. And God, always express gratitude for your goodness and your grace. Lord, you've blessed us so much. And God, even if you never gave us another blessing in this earth, Lord, we've already been blessed more than we deserve. God, we thank you again for everyone that's able to be here today. Lord, and we again think of those and miss those not able to be here today. Pray that you'd help them, touch them in a special way. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you be seated for just a moment. Connor, you got a song you want to do? Was that the one? I'm going to ask Connor to close out with this song. And then after he's done with this song, we'll start to kind of break things down and to get things ready. You know this one?
Test.
There's a man who lives beside me. He fought in World War II. He proudly waves old glory from high upon his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day. I've seen him at attention salute that flag and say, I love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, home of the brave and free. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this land. How many this morning are thankful we live in the greatest country on the face of this earth? All across the country, big cities, little towns, while mama's getting ready, dad pulls the car around. They join the congregation to sing Amazing Grace, 'cause they're free to worship Jesus and they are free to pray. I love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, home of the brave and free. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this land. God bless America, land I love. Whoa, I will stand beside her and defend her with my life, for my children, for freedom. Whoa, I love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, home of the brave and free. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this land. One nation under God. I love this land. I love this land.
How many of y'all got a little goosebumps on that song? Amen. Glory to God. Boy, I've had a good time in church today. Thank you, Brother Dana. Amen. I've had a good time. I don't know about you. Hey, we're not through around here. Now, listen, I realize I've talked to some of y'all have things that you have going on, and I understand that. That's perfectly understandable. You've got family things or other things going on, but if you are able to stay, I want you to know everybody's welcome, and we would be just tickled to death to have you. You're more than welcome to stay. There's plenty of food, and you might say, Pastor, I forgot. That's all right. Listen, We brought enough for everybody. Amen. We could probably feed twice the number in here, so don't worry about that. If you're able to stay, you want to stay, you're more than welcome. If you have to go, we thank you for being here today and worshiping with us this morning. Now, the plan is, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and dismiss in prayer. And then if we can get some of the men to kind of help start breaking down, getting some chairs, we're going to move some things here on the stage and getting the table set up so we can start bringing food in here as it gets ready to go, okay? So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And then as right before we get ready for the food, we'll have another word of prayer for ask the Lord's blessing on it and for thankful for his goodness and grace again. So let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed for this part. Oh, and after that, we'll have a short afternoon service, okay? And then we'll be dismissed for the day. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for allowing us to be in your house today. Thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to have church today. Lord, I could feel your presence here today. And God, we're thankful for every song that's been sung, for the word that we've seen in the scriptures. Lord, that's been a help and encouragement to us. We thank you, Lord, for God, even the time to be able to gather together and lift up our voices together in prayer. And Father, you're worthy, Lord, of all praise and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. God bless you.